Please turn in your copy of the scriptures to Luke's gospel. Our reading today is chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. Luke 6, 27 to 36. And you'll find that in the Pew Bible on page 861. Let us hear from God's word together. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. And he says this, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend. Expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." Let us pray together. Lord God, we come before you as those who hunger and thirst for your righteousness. We know that it can be found in your living word. And so now as we come to the reading and preaching of your word, we pray that by your Spirit we would hear, that we would understand, that we would believe, and that we would obey. All for the glory of God, all for the sake of those who need to know Christ. And all for the sake of obedience, that our lives may be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing in your sight, and that the nations may know of Christ because of how we live and because of how we act according to your gospel. Help us now, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. In order to get in your car this morning and start it and drive from your home to church, did you need to understand about spark plugs, about ignition wires, about transmissions and fluids and brakes? Did you need to understand all that? No, you just needed a little simple lesson in driving, how to start, how to drive, how to steer, how to stop. What are those oddly shaped and colored signs along the way? In order to stay warm last night, did you need to know the ins and outs of your furnace? What kind of fuel it used, how combustion took place, how hot air was delivered to the different rooms of your house. Did you need to understand all that in order to be warm? No, you just needed to know simple thermostat operations. You needed to know very little in order to keep warm. The engineers, the installers, the maintenance folks who come by your house, they do all the rest. In order to enjoy your spring trip to the beach, to sit by the ocean and watch the waves, do you need to know everything about tidal schedules and lunar pressures on the earth and how the sea rises and falls each and every day? No, you simply go. You take your beach chair, you sit, and you enjoy the wonderful weather. It's not necessary to know everything about everything you've gotten yourself involved in. A little knowledge does help. But what about in the Christian life? What about in the Christian life when Jesus asks us to do something really strange like he does today, that is, love your enemies? Does it help us to know the nuts and bolts of the Christian life? Does it help us to understand what God in Christ has done for us and what God in the work of the Holy Spirit is doing in us? Does it help to understand those things in order that we can then obey this strange command, this gospel command, love your enemies? Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. I think it does. And so I want to speak for just a few moments about the nuts and bolts of the Christian life, and then how that helps us understand Jesus' countercultural, Jesus' backwards, we might say, command to love our enemies and to be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. Those of you who are in the adult elective Sunday school class have been studying for the last 2 months, really, this subject of covenant. What does it mean that God has covenanted with us, His people? Well, we understand from the beginning of the Bible that when God made Adam and put him in the garden to work the land, to dress the earth and keep it, to subdue it, and to extend that garden into the rest of the world, he also issued a command to Adam. And that command we find in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, and it says this: "You may freely eat of all the trees in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you will surely die." We understand that to be God's covenant of works, his covenant of creation. If Adam obeyed God by not eating, Adam and all who would follow would have lived forever. But we know that the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field. We read in Genesis chapter 3 about how Satan came into the garden. He tempted Eve. He twisted and contorted God's scripture. He told Eve, "You certainly want to be happy and God is holding back from you." So Eve took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a delight to her eyes. She desired it. She ate. It says her husband, who was with her, also took and ate from that tree. And so from that moment on, all people born after Adam were born in sin. They were born totally depraved, radically corrupted. They were born with a sin nature. The inclinations of our heart after birth are only to sin. We cannot do good apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so everyone born in Adam, everyone born naturally after Adam from his ancestry, is born in sin and misery. And so when we are born in a situation where we are sinful, we are miserable, we are destined to die, because we not only are born with that sin nature, but from that sin nature come actual sins. We are like little sin factories. We are sin producing. And only until we are rescued by Christ, only until Christ comes into our life and we receive his forgiveness by faith, only when we stand before God justified, just as if we've never sinned, and just as if we have always obeyed, only then are we rescued from that futility that Adam plunged all mankind into. We think of what Jesus has done, his perfect obedience. When Adam in paradise failed, Jesus in the wilderness passed the test. He rejected Satan. He sent him packing with the word of God, with scriptures he quoted to him. We recognize that all that we are by faith in Jesus is not anything that we have done. It is simply what Christ has done. And it's given to us. It's credited to us. And we receive it by faith. And so when Jesus comes and stands before us, as he has done for his disciples in this 6th chapter of Luke, he stands before us and he says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you." Your immediate response is, "Yes, that's different. Of course, that's strange." And we recognize, because we have new hearts, we are new creations in Christ, the old is gone. It's been crucified. It's been put to death at the cross. The new has come. We have hearts that beat for the kingdom. We have hearts that love what God loves and live for what God lives for and desire to do what God commands. We recognize that this is a tall order. Yes, it's strange. Of course, it's countercultural. But we recognize that Jesus' kingdom, Jesus' gospel, Jesus' message, the ways of the kingdom, the commands that he gives to us, his children, are going to be totally different than what the world would expect. For who in the world would say, love your enemies? Love your enemies. Get a lawyer. Love your enemies. Pull out your gun. Love your enemies. No, you retaliate. You get even. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Toe to toe. Pain for pain. And so we live in a world today that does not live by kingdom values. It does not live by gospel message. And so we see lawsuits. We see fights. We see people at odds with each other. We see people even in families, they don't speak to one another, for we want to give an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus is saying here, love your enemies. Love those who hate you. Do good to those and bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn your other one and let them have that one also. If they take your coat, give them your tunic also, he says. Give to everyone who begs from you. From one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. Isn't this a strange message? If somebody steals from you, let them keep it. If somebody needs something that's yours, just let them have it. If someone hates you, bless them. If someone strikes you, let them have a shot at the other cheek. This goes against all our testosterone, doesn't it? This goes against all our views of justice and the way this world ought to work. And remember that Jesus, and it's said of his disciples later in the book of Acts, both written by the pen of Luke, the people of the gospel turned the world upside down. Friends, this passage for sure turns the world upside down. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Where does this strange message come from? Where does this gospel way find its roots? Well, it finds its roots in the heart of God. You see, God could have left us in our sins. God could have justly left us in our trespasses. He could have left us in Adam. What is that we sing sometimes? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. We were in the dungeon, and yet God called us. The chains fell off. What is it we sing? My chains fell off. My heart was free. I arose and went forth, and I followed thee. God didn't have to do that. He could have exacted eye for eye, tooth for tooth, justice for justice, and he could have said, you wicked sinners, you stay dead. You sinful people, you stay in darkness. You loved it? Well, you're going to get a snout full of it for eternity. He could have said, fine, be that way. But he sent his only son. And he sent his only son, and it tells us here in verse 35, I believe it is, love your enemies and do good. Lend to them expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. The heart of God Himself is the gospel. He loves sinners. What is that passage we speak of in Romans? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us in order that we might become the righteousness of God. This reminds me of a gospel story. You remember the man in the gospels who he owed a little money, and he went to the man to whom he owed and said, I can't pay you, but forgive me my debt. And his debt was huge. It was great. It was years of dollars. Take a while to earn it and to pay it off. And immediately he left, and he went and found a man who owed him a few bucks, grabbed him by the throat and said, pay me what is mine. The man couldn't pay. So he had him thrown in debtor's prison. And the one who had just forgiven him said, what is this? I've forgiven you much. and you can't forgive little. Friends, that's what Jesus is speaking of here. He's speaking of a gospel attitude, a gospel disposition. If we recognize who we were in Adam and the chains we were in under Satan's tyranny and the great lengths that God has gone through and to in Christ to redeem us, to save us, to rescue us, to redeem us, we would then, according to Jesus' command and by virtue of what we realize has been done for us in Christ, we will then love our enemies. We will bless those who curse us. We will turn the other cheek. We will give not only our cloak, but our tunic as well. We will let the one who steals have it. This is the gospel way. A couple of thoughts come to mind as you read through this passage. And I want us to think about this passage in one big overarching way. It's be charitable, be loving, be gracious, be God-like to others. We live in an eye-for-eye culture. And this is telling us, no, it's better for you as a Christian to be defrauded, to be robbed, to be stolen from. I remember when I first became a minister, I think it was at my ordination service, a seasoned minister told me this to remember. You be willing to be misunderstood. You be willing to be hurt by others, because that is the only way as a minister you will show the way of Christ. Now, I didn't know much back then at 26 years old what would come. But dear friends, we've got to be willing to be misunderstood. We've got to be willing to be hurt by others in order to proclaim the excellencies of Christ. If we go around saying, I want eye for eye, I want tooth for tooth, I want to get justice, my lawyer's going to see you, there's a time and place for those things, right? But what he's saying here is it's a gospel of love. It's a gospel of charity. Another thought comes to mind. Should we just leave our doors open and let people rob us because they need us? Should we let people take us and take our things and punch us in the face? Should we, for the sake of Christ, be a human punching bag? That's not what this is saying. This isn't a black and white. This isn't, it's not to be taken in the absurd. There's a dear sister in our church who loves to serve other people. And she came to me several months ago and she says, I've got so many people asking me for help. She says, should I feel bad when I want to go do my exercise class? Should I feel bad when I just don't have time to do another thing? No, you've got to have boundaries. You've got to take care of your own body. If you don't take care of your own body, how can you serve others? You see, we've got to have wisdom in our understanding of these things. Another thought comes to mind. Jesus is telling us to be empathetic. He's telling us to put ourselves in other people's shoes, see things from their perspective, and then look in a charitable way upon them. You know, we hear somebody who's fallen on hard times and say, well, that's their problem. Maybe somebody's run out of money. Well, they shouldn't spend it all. Well, so-and-so's sick. Well, I guess they deserve it. Sometimes we think eye for eye, tooth for tooth with others. And God is saying here, be charitable. Put yourselves in others' shoes. Suffer with them. Another thought. We should be generous to others. We should be practical in the way we treat others. Did you catch the general principle here? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What do we call that? The golden rule? It's the gospel rule, isn't it? If in doubt, do to others as you would want them to do to you, were you to switch places, were you to switch roles. Another thought. We should do good for others, even if it hurts. Even if we're defrauded, even if we're in pain. You know, sometimes we'll have some folks come to the church and they'll ask us for something. And, you know, over time we figure out the pattern. Who are the ones that always come? Who are the ones that always call? We have a network with other church offices where we know the ones who are just working the system. And we avoid those. That's a problem. But say we meet someone for the first time and they have a need. Wouldn't we rather be defrauded maybe once, maybe twice, for the sake of the gospel? Something to consider, something to think about. Another thought. This cannot be done. This way of loving our enemy, of blessing those who curse us, this way of turning the other cheek, the way of giving our tunic when our cloak has also been taken, this cannot be done apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in us, who shapes us by His Word and makes us more and more desirous to live the gospel and to be like our Heavenly Father, who so loved us that He sent His only Son, so that whoever would believe in Him would have everlasting life. Do you ever think about John 3:16? We memorize it. We see it in the end zone on the football program on TV. For God so loved the world. Just stop there. Don't even get into the He sent His only begotten Son part yet. He so loved the world. Think about that. He so loved the world who so hated Him. He so loved the world who would crucify His own Son. He so loved the world that all the way back in the garden, they put their fist in His face and said, God, You can take a hike. We can do this just fine all by ourselves. God so loved the world. He so loved mankind who hated His guts and said, we're fine without You. He pursued us. He chased us. And He loved us with an everlasting love. We read the Bible and we realize God loves us with a love that will never, ever let us go. We may shake our fist in His face. We may call Him names. We may forsake Him. We may sin against Him. We may even push aside the Holy Spirit and say, I, at least for the love of sin, would rather have pleasure myself than obey Almighty God. And He still comes to us. And God is saying, be God-like to others. Be gospel-like to others. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. That's what God does for us. Don't you think, scratch your head for just a moment, don't you think that as you entered God's sanctuary today, He knew a bunch of sinners would come in here and sing His praises? And don't you think that when a bunch of sinners came in here to sing His praises, He could have said, that's rather presumptuous of them. How dare they? I've seen what they did all week. But He sees us in Christ. He sees us as if we've never sinned. He sees us as if we've always obeyed. He knows He is a covenant keeper and we are covenant breakers. And He expects us week after week to come into His presence and say, here I am again, Lord. I told You last week I'd worship You. I told You last Sunday I'd serve You. I told You I would do whatever You commanded. I heard the sermon. I responded to it and I left and I just went back to my ways. Don't you think He knows that? Thanks be to God. He sees us as He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, another thought as we conclude. These are kingdom values. These are things that if we live them, it will make us different. The world wants fair. The world wants everything to be A-okay. The world wants eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And Jesus is saying here, do this radical way of life. And it will be a wonderful example of who God is. You remember this as you go into the world. You remember this week when others will fight you. They will insult you. They will hate you. They will strike you. They will steal from you. They will take advantage of you. You remember this. You did the same to Christ. And yet He reached into your life and He saved you. Let us pray together. Our Lord, our God, we come before You today and we admit that we very quickly forget, like that man in the Bible who was forgiven a great debt. We forget. We've been forgiven a great debt. And so when we are offended by others, we say eye for eye, tooth for tooth. We want justice. We want it to be fair now. Lord, who could stand before Your justice? Who wants fairness from You? We couldn't take it. But we stand here today because Jesus took it. He took the wrath that should have come upon us. He took the curse that should have fallen on our shoulders. He took the painful death on the cross that should have been our painful death. What a merciful and gracious God. Help us to be merciful and gracious so that the world might have a glimpse of heaven, might have a foretaste of the gospel. And that people may come to Christ because how we treat them. By your Spirit, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.